Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltmer, and my co-host, Felicity Sidnell-Reed. Every week at this time, we visit with a local author. We find out what projects they're working on. We hear them read from their work. We get a glimpse into their lives and maybe find out what prompts them to write in the first place. And today, we're very pleased to welcome Eric Wright. Welcome, Eric.
Hi, thank you.
Eric studied at the University of Toronto and Columbia International University in Southern Carolina, and that's where he met his wife, Mary Helen. Together, they lived and worked in Pakistan for 16 years. Eric wrote self-teaching courses and that were used in extension training programs for church leaders, and was himself a pastor of a church in Toronto for 9 years. When the yen to write became too strong to deny, they moved to Northumberland County, and that was in 1992. And here they've been able to fulfill a lifelong dream of living on a country property. During that time, he has written 10 books, of which 3 are novels. So, Eric, 2 of your books, one Through a Country Window and another Down a Country Road, have a country theme. What led you to write those particular books?
Well, I think I've always loved nature. In fact, believe it or not, I studied forestry as an undergrad and plan to sort of spend the rest of my life among the woods and forests of Canada. That didn't work out. That plan didn't work out.
No, Pakistan's a bit far from the woods of Canada.
So, spend most of my time in cities and desert areas, but that dream was still there in our hearts, you know. So, when we came back and I was in Toronto for a while, living in the city, working in the city, still there was that yen to be out there in the country. And finally, in about 1991 or so, we moved to Northumberland, sold our house, and bought a log house in the country, which is sort of the basis for all of these stories. And we got so enamored with country living, how different it was, that all of the vignettes, the things we experienced, the race down the Gany River, the Roseneath Carousel, and all these, the Garden Hill store, I wanted to write about them. And so those came into Through a Country Window. So that's sort of how it all happened.
And so is Through a Country Window a nonfiction book about your actual experiences, or did you use them to weave fictional stories?
No, really, it's nonfiction. This is our experiences, moving to here and what we saw, the local characters, the local Garden Hill store, and the Christmas in Millbrook, these kind of things.
You also began writing suspense novels, though, which is a big change from writing about the country store in Garden Hill. So what led you to make that change?
Ah, yeah. Well, part of it was that I was dissatisfied with what I was reading. I thought, well, why don't I try to write something that I enjoy reading? I enjoy reading something that is realistic, contemporary, realistic characters, but has suspense. And at that time, I was writing a nonfiction book that had just came out about forgiveness. And the neighbor said, when he got talking to me, he said, you know, why not, instead of writing about it in a factual way, about sort of fact by fact about forgiveness, tell a story. So I thought, well, you know, I should try to do that. And that's when I began to work on these novels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So tell us about a couple of these novels.
Well, one of them is The Lightning File, which is sort of set in this area. At the time, you know, there was all this talk about terrorism and this, that, and the other thing. So, and there was also in the local paper, there were all kinds of write-ups about drugs in farmers' fields, drug busts. So with that setting, I conceived a character, a journalist from Toronto, who was following up those leads. And that led him to a consortium of terrorists, actually, who were targeting U.S. interests from Canadian soil. Out of that came The Lightning File.
Oh, and, interesting. It's funny, funny the inspirations that will lead to these kind of things.
Yeah.
And in your nonfiction work, other than you mentioned forgiveness, what other kinds of topics have you tackled?
As you mentioned earlier, I was pastor of a church in Toronto and also working in ministry in Pakistan. And one of the challenges in ministry is that everybody sort of expects the minister to do sort of the work, you know, do all the work. He's got all the expertise, but really all of us have gifts. All of us have talents, abilities. So I started a series called On Spiritual Gifts, and out of that came a book, Church, No Spectator Sport, which is sort of discovering and developing the riches we all have within us so we can all contribute. So that was one of them.
Yeah.
The other one was forgiveness, because bitterness is such a terrible thing. Resentment and unforgiveness, it sort of makes things miserable in people's lives. So I wanted to deal with that early in my ministry. Out of that came the book Revolutionary Forgiveness.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, perhaps you'll read for us for a little, maybe something from Through a Country Window.
Okay, I can do that. Through a Country Window, as we've sort of already mentioned, the subtitle is Inspiring Stories from Out Where the Sky Springs Free.
Oh, what a lovely phrase.
It's sort of the story of our move from a suburban split level to a log house on the edge of the Ganaraska north of Port Hope. Short chapters describe our discoveries through the four seasons. Let me just dip into one of the early chapters. Gossip Central is called, because it leads up to my discovery of the country store. Reading from that chapter, I sometimes have this poem I put at the beginning, or this quote really, called Security is Mostly Superstition. It does not exist in nature. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. And so that day we took a chance and moved out of the city. I quit my job. And the chirp of a tiny cricket woke me on the morning after our big move. Groggily I looked around. Piles of boxes, two or three deep, littered the room. Every muscle in my body ached. Stiff from sleeping on a mattress flung on the floor, I could tell by the sunlight dancing off the polished pine that we'd overslept. Then I heard it again. Mary Helen heard it too. Eric, there's a cricket in the bedroom. Get it? I hear others answering from downstairs. Isn't this great? We're really in the country. Are you crazy? Find it. I can't stand bugs in the bedroom. Where did we pack the insect spray? I yawned as I groped for my slippers. Tossing a magazine at the offending critter, she whispered, "No, just get those bugs. First, I need coffee, though. Where's the coffee maker?" She yawned and said, "In the big box marked linens," as she pulled the sheet over her head and drifted back to sleep. Why would anyone pack the coffee percolator in a box marked linens? I grumbled as I manhandled boxes. But I finally did find the percolator in with the pillowcases, but where had Mary Helen hidden the coffee? It was 15 miles to the nearest supermarket. A lingering worry began to skate around the edges of my mind. We were a long way from the city and all our friends. We didn't know our neighbors. And by this time, I heard crickets chirping from the laundry room, the living room, and from under the pile of furniture on the corner of the dining room. What had we done? Had we invested in a cricket condo? And then in a chapter which I've called Where the Sky Springs Free, when we moved to the country, we began to rediscover the sky. In the city, a curtain of incandescence had veiled the stars. Neighboring houses had concealed the advent and egress of the sun. Towers hid the womb where clouds incubate. Smog besmirched the blue of day and smeared the indigo of night. In the city, asphalt and steel, glass and neon brand land and sky with the scars of mankind's sovereignty. Out in the country, the sky springs free, vast, bold, alive. It's unsullied by social enigmas, unhurried by the urgency of men and women. The sky proclaims transcendence while it spreads a counterpane upon which human dilemmas shrink to their rightful proportions. No problem is impossible. Hope rides the wildest storm.
Thank you, Eric. That was beautiful. So you have humor and beauty. Wonderful. And now I think we need to take a short break.